Saga Egmont presents A Stitch in Time in Applewell by Lilac Mills, read by Claire Morgan. Chapter 1. Lucas. A familiar and unwelcome dread rose in Lucas Granger's chest as he drove past the sign for Applewell. Once upon a time, he couldn't wait to leave, and here he was 17 years later returning to it. About time, too, Efron would have said, had he still been alive. It was Efron who had made him promise to come back, but Lucas wasn't entirely sure that keeping a promise was the only reason why he was returning, because, let's face it, where else could he go? And not only that, he had long overdue bridges to mend. Although the village was 2 miles from the coast, Lucas could smell the salty tang of the Irish Sea as he wound his window down and he breathed deeply, welcoming the fresh, clean smells flooding into the car, a far cry from the city air he'd left behind. Set in rolling Welsh hills and surrounded by farmland, Applewell hadn't changed. But then, he hadn't expected it to, and that sameness was part of the reason he'd left in the first place. He'd just gone about his escape the wrong way, that was all, and he'd hurt his family badly in the process. Lucas didn't think he'd ever be able to forgive himself for that, and guilt rode him hard. As he entered the outskirts and headed for his mother's house in the heart of the village, he thought about the small terraced cottage he'd grown up in and, dear God! Lucas slammed on the brakes and his car skidded to a halt. A banner hung from the bedroom windows, stretched across the front of the house for all to see. Welcome home! It reminded him of some show he'd seen on TV. The man in it had just been released from prison. His mother was waiting for him on the front step. So were most of the street's inhabitants. Lucas's gaze slid past her and came to rest on his sister. Their eyes met and she nodded, a tiny movement of her head. The little girl she was holding stared openly at him, appearing to be on the brink of tears, and he didn't blame her. He felt like crying himself. So much for slipping back unnoticed. He'd prepared himself for the nosiness of the villagers, for their well-meaning stares and comments. But this? His mother was throwing him a damned party, and Lucas's instinct was to turn the car around and drive hell for leather back to London. Instead, he put it into first gear and trundled slowly up the road, pulling in when he found a parking space. He got out slowly and stretched, easing the kinks out of his back from the 5-hour journey, trying to buy himself some time. It was no use. With a shriek, his mum was upon him, her arms grappling him into a hug. He could feel her trembling as she rose on tiptoe to shower his cheeks in kisses.
Lucas, my Lucas, she cried. You're home.
Not for good, mum, he warned.
She leant back, her eyes scanning his face.
It's good enough for me.
I'm not staying.
He felt the need to repeat it, the banner unnerving him. He didn't want her to think this was a permanent move.
I will be going back to London.
He had to. His life was there, not here. But in the meantime, this was home. Her face crumpled.
I know. But you're here now, and that's all that matters.
She hugged him again, her embrace fierce, as though now she'd got him home she would never let him go. Home, such an evocative word. He hadn't thought of Applewell as home for a very long time. Liar, his conscience whispered. He ignored it. Eventually his mother pulled away, although she kept one arm tight around his waist as she dragged him towards the crowd gathered outside the house. 11 people were watching the return of the prodigal son. He imagined that their smiles and nods and the pats on the back they gave him as his mother led him towards the front door hid the belief that they knew he'd come back one day. That he wouldn't be able to stay away. He hated that they were right. Applewell had been calling him back for half of his life, and he'd finally given in. Nora. He halted when he reached his sister.